everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week, we have a guest all the way from Sweden, Boris Salman. He is the host of the podcast, A Guest of Horror, and we chatted about how he fell in love with horror, why he started his podcast, and what his favorite Swedish horror movie is, and why he doesn't think there's more Swedish horror out there. I also could not resist asking him how the Swedish people reacted to Midsommar when it was released in theaters over there. We also talked about home invasion horror movies and Cronenberg films, and it's generally a good time. But one last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and also subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. And thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated, as it really helps people to find us. I think that's it, so let's get into this episode with Boris Salman. Hey, Boris, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Do you want to start? Thanks for having
me. Yeah. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, et cetera?
Yeah, I'm from Stockholm, Sweden. Well, I'm not from Stockholm, Sweden, but I'm from a town that's like an hour away from Stockholm, Sweden. I now live in Stockholm because I'm living here with my wonderful fiance. I've recently started a horror podcast, and the reason I sort of reached out to you was because I found your podcast and I immediately panicked. I'm like, oh no, this is the same thing. Oh no. And then I actually listened to your show, and luckily it wasn't exactly the same thing. So an immense like anxiety was lifted off of my shoulders. And yeah, then I reached out and now here we are.
Awesome. So we will get into your podcast a little bit later, but first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Such a good question. There's a ton running through my mind immediately, but I think I would say The Fly.
The original or the remake?
No, the remake. The Cronenberg one, of course. The Vincent Price one is fun, but yeah, that's one of those cases where the remake is so much better than the original.
All right, cool. Yeah, I've only seen it once because I love Jeff Goldblum. It was very entertaining, but it was also really hard to watch because it's really gross.
Yes, I'm usually not the type of person who would enjoy like body horror a lot, but like something about like Cronenberg's sort of run of film in the 80s is really appealing to me.
Awesome. So how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
Man, I don't have like a specific movie or something like that that comes to mind, but I just always loved this stuff. Like when I was little, you know, watching Scooby-Doo, like that was the show that I watched. And it was because it was like a mystery show and it was fun and castles and ghosts. And, you know, that's just, I've always been into this stuff. As soon as I could, like, you know, in school, borrow books from the library. Like I would always go and borrow some Stephen King novel, you know, or a short story collection or something like that. But yeah, just ever since I was a kid, essentially.
Awesome. Is it common for kids in Sweden to love horror?
No, I don't think so. No. But I mean, it's as common as any place else, I guess.
Yeah.
Some children are just drawn to that stuff. And you know, my parents were wise enough to like, well, you know, he doesn't really seem to be negatively affected by it. So go ahead, you know.
That's awesome. So like you were saying before, you have a podcast called Guest of Horror. Do you want to tell everyone a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So essentially what I do is I invite someone within the horror community, whether that be a content creator, like of course, I want to get like actors and directors sometimes in the future. But like right now, I'm sort of sticking to the horror community, people I admire, people I follow and sort of look up to, and I say to them, hey, pick a movie. You can pick any movie. It can be your favorite movie. It can be something you've just seen only recently. And yeah, from there on out, they pick a movie, and then the start of the show is sort of like a traditional interview show, and then it sort of transitions into like a discussion of the film that they've picked, which, you know, someone coming on the show, they're not going to pick a movie that they dislike. They're going to pick a movie that they have some sort of connection to. And so that's really fun to explore. You know, I'm over here in Sweden and all my guests have been Americans so far. And like, we're halfway around the world from each other, but we have this like collective love and these experiences that we can share of like going to the video store or whatever, you know, all these like sort of universal things that that horror fans sort of have. And it's pretty cool. You know, I hope to like have guests sort of from all over the world in the future because yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, definitely a cool community. That sounds really cool. So you live in Stockholm. I've been to Stockholm, but I don't remember if there are any haunted sites or anything like that that I went to go see. Are there any haunted places in Stockholm that you visited?
Not that I have visited, no. There are like, hey, you can take this tour and go see the ghosts of Old Town or whatever, but I haven't done that stuff. Like, I'm such a skeptic when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think it would be fun, but I would also feel a bit like an imposter. Like, yeah, okay, you know, I don't really believe in that stuff.
So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
Well, I think it's trying to formulate this in a good way. I think, you know, horror can deal with so many different types of topics that are often like taboo or things we don't talk about. And I think, you know, at some level, like it's good to interact with that stuff. It's good to engage with that stuff. So like, you know, violence and fear, anxiety, like just having like a sort of safe space to explore those feelings, I think is good.
Definitely. What would you say is your favorite subgenre in horror?
I would probably, I don't know if that's horror essentially, but I really like revenge movies in general, but you know, that sort of borders the line. It can't be horror, it can't be action, it can't be thriller. I guess in terms of like straight horror, I guess home invasion movies I really like because that's like my number one fear. As I said, like I don't really believe in ghosts or any of that stuff. You know, ghost movies have certainly scared me. But yeah, just a home invasion, that's like my worst nightmare. And me being the person that I am, I'm like, oh yes, my worst nightmare. Yes, show me that.
Awesome. So what are your favorite home invasion movies that you've seen?
The Strangers is a really good one. I think everyone knows that one. This is Michael Haneke film, Funny Games. Which is like it's super depressing, but yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I guess The Last House on the Left kind of counts.
Definitely.
That's one I watch like way too young.
Who would you say are your favorite horror directors?
The first one that I really like took notice of like this. Okay, I am aware of the director behind this movie was Wes Craven, because I, you know, grew up in the early 2000s. So I was a little bit late on Scream, but like Scream was still a huge phenomenon. Like, you know, Scream 3 had come out at that point. And, you know, the ghost face mask was everywhere. So I think my entry to Craven was like Scream and then The Hills Have Eyes, weirdly enough. But so that was my first love. And then I would probably pick Cronenberg now, because compared to a lot of other directors, I mean, Cronenberg has made films that aren't like great, but compared to a lot of other horror directors, he's really just kind of as I said before, like his string of movies, especially in the 80s, is like very impressive. Of like Videodrome, The Dead Zone, like all of those are like hits back to back to back. So I would probably pick Cronenberg.
Nice. Have you watched his son's movie, Possessor?
Oh yes, it's great. I love it. I loved it.
I have not watched it yet because I'm not a fan of body horror.
That one, it's a body horror, but it gets way more like, it sort of feels like it could have been an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. I only ever watched the first episode of Black Mirror and then I was like, this is not for me. So.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Yeah. I've been told that you just have to get past the first episode and then it gets a little less. But
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. The fact that that is the first episode, so like it's mind-boggling because the rest of the series like does not have that tone. It's really strange.
Yeah. I guess they just don't want anyone who's faint of heart to be watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have never had the chance to speak to somebody from Sweden or who lives in Sweden before. I heard that when Midsommar was released, it was perceived as a dark comedy. Is that true?
I don't know. I feel like that movie certainly made an impact over here in ways that, like, it certainly, I was talking to someone who immigrated here from Hungary, and she was spending her first midsummer here, and she was joking about how she only knew midsummer through the movie. She's like, it's gonna be like that. I'm like, yes, totally. No, I mean, there's I don't think it was perceived differently, really. I don't think so.
What are your thoughts on that movie?
Oh, I loved it. I watched it in the theater. It's like really funny because they didn't film it in Sweden. They filmed it someplace Central Europe, I think. But it really does feel like Sweden, and they did a really good job. But yeah, I probably prefer Hereditary a little bit more than Midsommar. But yeah, great film.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a Midsommar festival? Are they like that? Minus
Well,
the death.
yes, minus the death. I mean the attire and everything, like, you like they nailed that part of like, hey, everyone's wearing flower crowns and but no, they're not really that eventful. Like, usually we just dance around this Midsommar pole. I don't know what to call it. But yeah, sort of like a Christmas tree thing, and usually there will be like one of these Midsommar poles in every like sort of little community or suburb. And then sort of everyone gathers there and dances around the pool. But yeah, that's pretty much the only the only things that are.
Cool. The other movie that I think of, the other horror movie that I think of when I think of Sweden is the movie, it's not a Swedish movie, but it is The Ritual because they go hiking in
Right.
Sweden, I believe. Have you seen that
Yes.
one?
Yes. It's on Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that one is great. That one actually, like, that one spoke to me because I don't actually know if they filmed that one in Sweden or not, but that one really does feel like Sweden. Like those, yeah, of like the sort of thought of like being lost in these like very dense sort of northern Swedish forests is like terrifying.
Yeah, that just freaks me out. When they were like, let's go off trail and we'll save time, I was like, you're dead. You're definitely
Yes,
dead. You're
exactly.
never coming out.
Yes.
The only other Swedish horror movie that I know of, unfortunately, is, and not unfortunately because of the movie's not bad, is I think it's a movie from last year. It's called Nelly Rapp Monster Agent. What other Swedish horror movies would you recommend to people if they want to be a little bit more well-versed in Swedish horror?
Let the Right One In is like
Oh
one of those.
yeah.
Yeah.
I always forget that's Swedish. I don't know why.
Yeah, and that one hits sort of a spot for a lot of Swedish people, I think, because it is such a, it's set in the 80s, and it's a very like period accurate depiction of Sweden in the 80s, or the Stockholm of the 80s. So yeah, that one is really great. They made an American remake of it. I thought
Yes.
that was okay, but watch the original. Other than that, like, Sweden is actually pretty bad at making horror movies. There are some other ones. I don't actually know that, like, the English titles of them, like, that's how sort of insignificant they are. But Sweden is, we're very good at like making like dramas and black comedies, but horror movies are not something that we're necessarily known for. Norway, our neighboring country, has a lot more, actually, which is interesting.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think there are a couple of like really prolific Norwegian directors who really love this stuff and sort of got their chance. The Dead Snow movies, that director, he recently put out a film on Netflix called The Trip, which I recently watched. That's a Norwegian film with, actually, there's a Swedish actress in it, Naomi Rapace, who I don't know how you guys would. She's in Prometheus and Alien Covenant.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen either of those, but
Okay, hopefully people will understand who I'm talking about, because I always, when American people say her name, I'm always like confused, like, wait, that's how you pronounce that? But yeah, I just think like there are some sort of, or some Norwegian directors who sort of got their chance and were successful, so they got to make some other horror movies.
that's cool. What other Norwegian horror movies would you recommend?
There's this, there's three of them called Cold Prey. There's like slasher movies that I really enjoy. I think the first and the second one are sort of, those are the good ones. And then the third one is like a weird prequel thing. I think it was made by other people as well. But yeah, that was a sort of a successful series. Cold Prey. Yeah, there's the Dead Snow movies. I watched this other one recently as well. I forget. But there actually is quite a few of them.
Awesome. I will have to do some research into that. So you love body horror. What are your favorite movies that have body horror in it besides The Fly?
Well, here's the thing. I don't actually love body horror that much. I just happen to like really connect to these Cronenberg ones. So, because, you know, that's one of those genres where I'm like, man, you sort of want to look away, right? That's sort of the whole thing with body horror. I don't know. I don't really engage with a lot of those types of movies.
Have you seen Titane yet?
Yes, I did.
Speaking of body horror.
Yes, crazy.
Crazy movie.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I like that I experienced it. I don't think I'll ever watch it again. I don't know if I actually liked it. For anyone who hasn't seen it, a woman has sex with a car, and that's the least crazy thing that happens. So,
yeah, that's like the opening 10 minutes.
Yeah. And then it's like bonkers nonstop from there. So,
I'm watching that scene. I'm like, man, I love art. Right. like this is art. Yeah, I am glad I experienced that movie. I think it sort of loses a bit of its steam midway through. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, because it kind of just like flips from being about, one thing to being about another.
Right. Because I think if it would have been the other way around, if it would have had like a crazy climax, I think I would have come away as being like, oh, I really love this movie. But because all the crazy stuff was up front and then you get like an hour. Yeah. I just thought it was a little like, huh.
Yeah. It's really hard to talk about this movie without spoiling it.
Yes.
But even if we said everything that happened in it, like you would still have no idea what the movie was about.
Right.
So.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so I like that one quite a bit.
Okay, I haven't seen it. It just came to Netflix, so I might watch it. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say equally strange. It's not equally strange, but it also has a vibe to it.
Yeah. So an article came out last year that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown and the pandemic better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was?
I think it goes back to the thing I said earlier about like facing your fears kind of in like a safe place. And of course the like the answer I immediately thought of was like, well, we're freaking prepared for this, right? Like every movie has this plot. But no, I think we're kind of facing this head on in a way that like, I don't really have a better answer than that.
What was the pandemic like in Stockholm?
Crazy, because as kind of the rest of Europe locked down, we never did a lockdown, and that was very criticized from other countries, but within Sweden as well. And it's been really weird. It's almost because everyone has been like out and about, like I didn't get to work from home the first like couple of months because, the government was not saying you have to work from home. So I would, take the bus into work and it would be like, hey, there would be like billboards of like, hey, it's National Bus Driver Day. Say hi to your bus driver. And then you would go on the bus and it was like plexiglass, like all the like do not cross signs, like, hey, do not go up to the bus driver. Do not say hi to the bus driver. So it felt like weirdly dystopian. But after sort of getting to work from home, like, I don't know, that's been kind of a positive experience for me. But obviously, I wish this pandemic didn't happen, of course. But, getting to work from home is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's so interesting hearing about everyone's experiences that are in other parts of the world during the pandemic, and as well as in other parts of the country in the US, since the US is so big and we didn't have any one uniform thing that we did. Every state did something different, for better or for worse.
I was going to say probably for worse, but
definitely agree. What was it like to watch the US from afar during the pandemic?
I mean, it was crazy, right? Because from a European's perspective, like, we saw what was happening in Asia, and all the critics here in Sweden were saying, like, hey, you're seeing what's happening in Asia right now. Like, we should lock down. And then take that another step where the virus comes to the US, and, you know, you can say all of these, everyone kind of over here was saying, like, hey, the US should lock down. Aren't they seeing what's happening in Europe? So, I mean, it's been like watching a train crash in slow motion. And I mean, some states have handled it better than others, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. So how do you decide what horror movie to watch when you're looking for something to watch?
Oh, I'm such a nerd about this stuff. Like, I have a Letterboxd account and I always want to watch something from my watch list. Like, I want to get that watch list down, but then I'll watch a movie and then I'll look at the reviews on Letterboxd and they'll say, this movie reminded me of this other movie. And then I'll look at that other movie and then, you know,
three hours later.
Yes. And then I have like 10 more movies on my watch list. So yeah, that's usually what I do. Or, you know, if something new comes out on VOD that I think my fiance will like, I'm like, hey, we should watch this thing together.
Is your fiance a horror fan?
No, not at all. I sort of got her into it in a lot of ways because she is a fan of some filmmakers now, like Mike Flanagan. She really likes his stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we watched Hill House together and that was like one of those. Did you like that one?
I did, but it was really hard to get through.
But we watched Hill House and after that I'm like, oh, I think, because she had such a strong connection with that series, I'm like, oh, I think you'll actually dig some Stephen King stuff, because Mike Flanagan is very inspired by Stephen King, right? And so then I, you know, showed her The Shining and some stuff, and so it's been like, you know, that's what it's like to be in a relationship, right? You show each other stuff you think is cool. And then like you sort of have some wiggle room where it's like, I'm not going to go to her and be like, hey, I'm watching this Italian cannibal movie tonight. She's not going to be into that. Right. But like, yeah, you know, a Stephen King story, she probably will enjoy. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That, like I always say, I always think there's horror for everyone. So it's just finding that little niche.
Yes.
Because even if you just like true crime, like, crimes are often terrible. They're horrific. So that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
I mean, I haven't seen Cannibal Holocaust because of the animal cruelty. I'm sure that one comes up quite a bit. There's other movies quite like that one where they might not have actually like kill some animals, but like they just feel really cruel to me. Like, I haven't seen any August Underground stuff or like Faces of Death or stuff like that. I mean, that's just not why I like horror. That's just not what I'm into. But other than that, like when it comes to like psychological stuff and things like that, I'm usually open to like rewatch some pretty disturbing stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I think like I did watch like a Serbian film, right? And it's awful. Don't watch it. So I won't watch that one, but it's not really because it disturbed me. I mean, I just thought it was bad, right? So I might have to get back to you.
Okay. So back when we were all packing into movie theaters together, did you ever have a noteworthy experience seeing a horror movie in theaters?
I haven't been back to the theaters yet.
Well, before that, did you ever have?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last movie I saw in theaters before the pandemic was The Invisible Man, which was a ton of fun. Packed house, great film, and a ton of like really fun scares, like fun jump scares where they felt like earned, like they didn't feel cheap, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you'll watch a horror movie and there'll be a jump scare and it's like, well, of course I jumped. It's just a loud noise, right? But in The Invisible Man, I thought the few jump scares that they did have were quite earned and felt kind of shocking. So that was really fun seeing with an audience and having, you know, people sort of scream their brains out.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely enjoyed that movie and I rewatched it when it came on HBO. So Definitely very solid. What has been your favorite horror movie of 2021?
Oh, great question. I'm thinking about like doing, I don't know, doing like a video on YouTube about like having like some really fun and dumb categories and sort of, so I've been thinking about this and I've been watching a lot of movies that came out this year because I sort of want to do something like end of the year thing. I think my favorite right now is probably this movie. I think it's on Shudder in the US. It's called Violation. It's like,
I haven't seen it, but it's on my list of things to watch to end out, to close out the year. I have Violation, The Columnist, The Power, A Sound of Violence, Meander, Werewolves Within, okay, and Jacob's Wife. I watched Gaia and the amusement park yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was not really a fan of the amusement park. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I only got like halfway through it because it's very odd. And it's about, but Gaia was okay. I didn't hate Gaia.
Wait, did you see Gaia last night?
Yes.
Because I also watched it last night.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you think of it?
I thought it was kind of cool, a little like meandering. Like, I don't know. Trying not to spoil things here. There's a point in that movie where I'm like, oh, this is what this movie is. Like, these are the characters. I thought, for some reason, I just thought the story would be a little bit bigger, but that's not really the movie's fault. That's my expectations. I thought it was fine. Like it was one of those, like, yeah, probably one and done. Like it's not going to be like a favorite, but pretty cool.
Yeah. I think I've had such bad luck watching horror movies on streaming recently. I watched Come True, which I think was on Hulu or Shudder.
Yep.
I have no idea what happened in it. And then I watched, Lucky, which I think is on Shudder. Not really a fan because I don't need that kind of a reminder that women always have to be on guard, but I don't know.
All right, fine. I haven't heard of Lucky, but I did watch Come True and I thought that one was all right.
Yeah, I think I must have missed something. I don't know. We're gonna spoil Come True right now. Can you explain the ending to me?
Oh man, it's been a while since I've seen it.
She ends up with like vampire fangs and out of nowhere.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I can't explain the ending to you. Okay. Right. That's what happened. Yeah. No, I can't.
Awesome. Glad we cleared that up. What horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2022?
Oh man, I don't know. I barely keep track of like new releases because there are like people on YouTube that will do that for me. Oh, I have no idea. They're doing that new, doing Halloween Ends. That's next year, right?
Next October. So here, I just Googled it. There is Scream, Halloween Ends, technically Scream 5, right, but they're calling it Scream. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Morbus, Hocus Pocus 2, Nope by Jordan Peele, Violent Night, Black Phone, Doctor Strange.
Okay, I think the one I'm actually most looking forward to is Black Phone.
Yeah, that one looks really, really interesting, and it's something like new. So
right. I wanted to mention Halloween Ends though because I did not like Halloween Kills.
Me neither. I hated it.
One, yeah. You know, it was funny when that movie came out. I said something to the extent of like, I think this is one of the worst Halloween movies. And then I was actually thinking about it and I'm like, oh no, it's probably actually middle tier. It's just that they've made so many bad Halloween movies that, you know, like I think it's better than the Rob Zombie ones. I think it's better than Resurrection. I think it's better than Six, but like those are all really, really, really bad.
I've seen Halloween through Halloween 5 and then H2O and then 2018 and Halloween Kills. I think I had such a visceral reaction to Halloween Kills because I thought Halloween 2018 was so good. And this was just like, this was just such hot garbage.
Yes. So,
everyone was like, well, it's the middle movie. So they just have to like kill time. But I was like, come on.
They could have just made two movies like the original plan, but.
Yeah.
Now I gotta, you know, fill it out to make a trilogy. money, capitalism.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I heard on a podcast that they were originally going to have Halloween Ends take place still on the same Halloween night, but apparently they've changed that. I don't know. That could have been misinformation, but yeah, I saw somebody tweet after Halloween Ends, how long is this night?
So. Yes.
Yeah. I have very low expectations for Halloween Ends, but maybe they'll surprise me.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking like, well, at least they will get to do some, because they originally planned this as two movies, and I'm sort of hoping that Halloween Kills is just like a bunch of filler, and then they've got a bunch of stuff planned, yeah. Good stuff planned for Halloween Ends. But we'll see. I mean,
so are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like, or do you hold any unpopular horror movie opinions?
Ooh, hot takes. I don't have a usually, like, I'm pretty positive on a lot of stuff that I, you know, so many people on the internet, and I think especially because I'm sort of dabbling in YouTube, like, I do not know what I want to do with my YouTube channel. I sort of put out like a comedy sketch thing because I have a background in comedy. So I did that and sort of did that to like learn video editing and stuff like that. I've put out music on there. Like, I don't know what I'm doing on my YouTube, but I know that I sort of want it to be centered around horror, right? So I'm getting like all these recommendations on YouTube, and there's so many people that are just really, really negative. Like there's people like, I hate everything. Like that's the channel name, I hate everything. And I'm not calling that person out. He's very successful on YouTube, but like, that's not the energy that I want to have or that I want to like watch. So I think like, my like hot takes are usually, oh, this movie that people say is terrible is actually like fine. You know, like it's not a very hot take, right? I think a lot of like the sort of remake hate that was happening in the early, like, or like, let's say 2005 to like 2015, where a ton of movies were being remade. Like, hey, remakes are fine, actually. You know, the originals are still there. You can still enjoy them. It's in some ways a remake can be kind of cool. For the instance, like Hills Have Eyes. Like I did not know about Hills Have Eyes until the remake came out. Remake is a pretty good movie. It's a really mean movie, but I quite enjoy it. And that got me, you know, to check out the original and to later watch The Last House on the Left, which is now like one of those movies that I don't know if I would consider it one of my favorite movies of all time. Like it's a weird movie on many levels. And like, you know, it feels like strange to say, oh, I really like one of those like really mean sort of rape revenge films from the '70s because, well, it's a rape revenge film, but you know, a remake of a film got me to watch some of these older films that I really enjoyed. So I think, you know, I just don't see the point of like, all this negativity around a movie criticism, I guess. I guess that's my hot take.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine to dislike stuff. It's fine to have opinions, but I don't.
So that leads me into my next question. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh, I feel like I actually have good answers for this, but I can't think of them at the top of my head. Okay, hold on. I think there's a ton of like giallos that have really interesting premises, and then because they're giallo, they go nowhere with them, and it's meandering, and it's very like, I love giallos. I do. I 100% understand why someone would say, oh no, those movies are terrible. Why? Like I understand that, full stop. But I do think there are a lot of giallos that have like really interesting premises, and then they sort of don't really go anywhere, because I was talking about this on the latest episode of my podcast, because we talked about an Italian movie, and I said that giallo movies are mystery movies where the mystery doesn't make sense. And like, you know, so many of those movies, yeah, they have like cool openers or some cool ideas or cool visual styles, but like script wise they just don't work at all. So I think it could be like pretty interesting to, I don't know, remake some early Dario Argento ones or something like that. I don't know. some angry dude in who really loves giallos are like screaming at me right now. But
I've never really been a big fan of giallo movies. But speaking of giallo, did you see Malignant?
Yes, I love Malignant. I mean, for a while, I finished Malignant, and I'm like, this is going to be my movie of the year. And then I calmed down a little bit, and I'm like, okay, well, it's not going to be my movie of the year. But it, man, it was so much fun. It's ridiculous. I've seen it twice now because I watched that movie, and I came out of it with such a, like, such energy that I'm like, I have to show this to someone. So, like, the night after when my fiance was home, I'm like, we have to watch Malignant. Like, you have to see this. You might not like this movie, but you have to experience it.
What did she think?
Oh, she thought it was great. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a bad movie. We both think it's a bad movie, but it's so much fun.
Awesome. So what do you have plans to watch this weekend?
I'm trying to catch up on some stuff from 2021. I really want to see The Beta Test. I think that's going to be my next one. I really enjoy sort of Jim Cummings and what he's done with his previous films. Mm-hmm. I think he has like, that's like one of those, I don't know. Black comedies really speak to me for some reason. Like that's sort of the type of comedy movies that I really enjoy these days. And there's something about like Jim Cummings always being on the verge of like a mental breakdown that I really enjoy watching. Did you see his werewolf one?
What was it?
Oh, hold on. I have to Google this. It has like a long title.
The Wolf of Snow Hollow?
Yes, The Wolf of Snow Hollow. Yes.
I did. I liked it. I didn't love it. I thought there were parts that were really funny, and then there were parts that were like I couldn't take seriously because of the dialogue, which that's a thing for me. Like if you don't have realistic dialogue, I can't take the movie seriously, but that's just me. There were parts that were really funny, so.
Right. I that was the first one I watched of it. And I love the way that like he is, never mind. I'm not going to get into this. It's going to be way too long to explain. I love that movie.
Awesome. So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
One horror villain. Oh man, they're all going to kill me, right? Has anyone had like a good answer to this question without telling me?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh man. Because right now I'm just thinking, well, okay, I'll just pick Jason Voorhees. He's tend to kill people pretty quickly. But I don't know. What would be a good answer?
So I like the answer of Hannibal Lecter, because you don't piss him off and you don't eat his food.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell people where they can find your podcast and your YouTube channel?
Yes. I'm on kind of everything. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, like TikTok, kind of everything. It should be just at Guest of Horror, and you can find me pretty much wherever. If you want to watch me do like really weird comedy on YouTube, you can do that. I'm having a lot of fun with that stuff, but the thing that is sort of my main focus right now is the podcast, and it's not really on a set schedule or anything like that. Like I work 40 hours a week. I have other responsibilities. Like I'm kind of just starting to figure all this stuff out. You know, you just follow me on whatever platform you like. And yeah, the podcast is pretty much on everything. I think it should be on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts as well, Spotify, all that stuff. You can follow the show and yeah, I think that's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being here. I hope you have a good night.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Boris Solomon, and thanks again to Boris for coming on. I'll leave links to all of his socials in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at hello@whostherepodcast.com. Until next time, stay scary and get vaccinated.